Hey everyone, Evan Damerill here, co-host of Locked On Cavs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. On today's show, Chris and I are finally settling the great Ben Simmons debate that sparked up over the weekend, and whether or not he's good enough for the Cavaliers, whether or not the Cavaliers have a good enough package for him, and let's be frank, Ben Simmons is short for BS, and Chris are going to be full of it in today's episode talking about a trade that's never going to happen. So please stay tuned and listen to today's episode of Locked On Cavs, and like as always, we really appreciate it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University. Cleveland! This is for you!
Chris, how are you today, my man? You said you had to go to the doctor, so this is going to give me a second to recalibrate while you talk about that.
Yeah, good. No, nothing major, just a little checkup. Salute to the Cleveland Clinic for creating a very healthy environment. And guys, my doctor was like, "More people need to wear masks." So yeah. Wear a freaking mask.
Really wear a mask. And in the botched opening, I was talking about Russell Crowe, not Mel Gibson. So I'm ready to fight you like Russell Crowe. And as always,
I'm kind of like mad you weren't like, I'm going to beat you up like Scott Pilgrim, like outsmarted Lucas Lee and like have me grind off of like a shitty rail. I'm like, considering where we've been the last couple days.
Chris, can you do a grindy thing?
No, I can't skate.
I used to skate, so, but get exploding to change after we're done with it, but enough of bus fare. But as I said before, I am Evan Damerill.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Of
so good.
What
the next sound you're gonna hear is me hanging up the phone, and the next one's gonna be me pulling the trigger, which means the gun's empty. And then you also made the enough for bus. Oh man, I fucking love Scott Pilgrim. Continue
as always to watch and read and to Scott Pilgrim if you can, folks. But as always, I am Evan Damerill, co-host of Locked On Cavs. You can find me at SB Nation's Fear the Sword, as well as Forbes Sports covering the Cavaliers. And joining me is Chris Manning to talk about why Ben Simmons is a Cavalier. Chris, why don't you give everyone a little bit of background on yourself?
Yeah, Run for the Sword with Evan. It's kind of our little baby hosting Locked On Cavs. Forbes, Ineligible Man, Doubtful Newsletter, Cleveland Magazine from time to time as well. Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in here.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate it. And Chris, is Ben Simmons good enough to be a Cavalier? Let's get like real cerebral with it before we get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Because Tristan Thompson hit a 3-pointer in Philadelphia before Ben Simmons hit a 3-pointer in Philadelphia. There's a huge deal here.
Okay, look, here's the Ben Simmons, if the Cavs could acquire Ben Simmons, would by far be the best player on the team. He is a franchise caliber. He's an incredible defensive player, an incredible passer. Obviously, the shot is a thing that limits him, but the guy is incredible, and he's the kind of talent that the Cavs are hoping to get in a draft. That is the caliber of player the Cavs would want, and if you really could get him, you would be crazy not to try and do it. I will get into this. I'm highly skeptical that the Cavs actually have a package, even though that's been put out through their PR staff that, you know, it is something they believe they have, like a good package. I don't buy that one bit for a variety of reasons, but if you could get him, hell yeah. Hell yeah, you get Ben Simmons. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. And any team that can build around him correctly, I think just frankly him being built around in an interesting way in kind of in a more modern, open-y, kind of spacey way would be really, really fascinating.
Well, first off, I could say, like, to the point of the Cavs package, like, I could be like Scott Pilgrim and say I dated Brie Larson at one point in my life, but I can't. So, and I can't call her an ex and say that I'm upgrading. But either way, the Cavs.
Chicken
I think
Parmesan vegan.
Yeah, no, milk is a latte vegan, milk and eggs, bitch. But anyways, I think the Cavs are being definitely a little facetious, and there might be some wishful thinking, and maybe it's Rich Paul pulling his Rich Paul strings and trying to get it known out there that Ben Simmons maybe wants out of Philadelphia, because I don't blame him. Elton Brand has done a horrendous job building around Ben and Joel, in Philly, and a friend of the pod, Ty Windisch, you know, really likes to talk about the fact that the Sixers really just mortgaged their entire future. One, trading Markel Fultz, even though Philly did break him, he is turning into a serviceable player in Orlando, and he's kind of a player Philly could use right now. And two, trading a lot of their young stars and assets to get Jimmy Butler, and then they make just a lot of foolish moves, like signing Tobias Harris to that max deal, and they signing Al Horford to that massive contract, and they're going to try and have to get those two out the books. And I don't know if trading Ben Simmons is an option, but if Rich wants him out there and they're using some Cavs momentum to make that happen, like, more power to him. But like you said, if the Cavs are able to get Ben Simmons, he is the guy that they have been searching for the longest time and is a franchise cornerstone. I mean, granted, wouldn't be coming to an ideal situation because he's trading Joel Embiid for Andre Drummond, and that's not great. But I think at least J.B. Bickerstaff wouldn't get cute with it, wouldn't play Ben as at the four position in a point forward spot if he did come to Cleveland, and I think he would be properly utilized here because Kobe Altman is a disciple of David Griffin, and David Griffin knows how to build a team around a point forward like he did around LeBron James, and I'm not saying it's going to be a similar result, but I think the Cavs could be a competent team if Ben Simmons somehow ended up here. But yeah, no, I just think it's entirely unrealistic to expect him to get traded here.
Ben Simmons, like, you know, depending on what happens with his contract, depending on what happens with kind of every angle of him, like, he's the guy that you can take and you can literally build your franchise around. There's no one else like that readily available to Cavs right now. You know, I know they and I think very highly, and you think very high of Kevin Porter Jr. I don't know if his ceiling, I don't think his ceiling is nearly as high as what Ben Simmons already is. Like, that is just not a thing for him. You know, the guy, like, I think is frankly just, like, a little underrated at this point, considering, you know, all the things he can do besides the one thing he can't do. It also just would take a lot, and if you, and then just, like, if I'm the Cavs, like, you obviously call, you make the calls on this, but, like, I just don't see how.
Left off the phone, but.
Yeah, but I think, like, even with the injury concerns with him, he has a knee injury now, he had the back injury, like, there are concerns in that regard. Like, when I think about what Ben Simmons is, and if you could get him and he's a under 25 superstar, like, yeah, you get that guy, and then you build everything else around him later. And, like, I do think there are interesting fits, you know, with him on the Cavs and the kind of pieces they have. They're not ready to help him win right now, and I think if you put him in the right situation and have the right kind of core around him, you could make some moves right now with him and, you know, do things at a high level. I'm curious to see what it looked like, but, if you could get him, it's ultimately the kind of guy you want. Like, and I think the guy that, if you're talking about, like, age profile and stuff, that is the next, like, kind of guy. It seems like Cade Cunningham would be the next draft prospect that is, like, this caliber of guy. Ooh. It doesn't seem like most people think that that guy exists in this draft, although that could, you know, be proven wrong. You know, that happens, obviously. But, you know, these guys are really hard to get, and they're kind of worth exploring if you can get them. I mean, he's bona fide, and I think if you don't think that he's weirdly to me one of those guys, Evan, that if your opinion on him is, like, outright negative, I question how much you're actually watching.
Well, shout out to good friends of my own. I don't know if they're pals of yours, Chris, but Cookies Hoops, who calls everyone a boomer if you make fun of Ben Simmons for not shooting threes. But no, Ben Simmons is a delight to watch on both ends of the floor. Like you said, he is a stud defensive prospect. He is a cerebral offensive player. Like, in terms of just playmaking and scoring, like, yeah, he can't shoot threes, and he was shooting them in the bubble. But to your points about his injury concerns, I feel like maybe part of that is an indictment on Philly's training staff. They are one of the worst in the league. I joke that they use leeches and witchcraft to try and heal their players because I remember the Hinkie era Sixers and how everyone was getting hurt for all the stupid reasons. Maybe that was intentional on their part, but whatever. But I think Cleveland Clinic staff could do a lot of wonders health-wise for Ben. And also,
and some of them are fluky, too.
So yeah, that's
some of them are frankly fluky.
I guess my question to you is, before we wrap up this segment, just talking about whether or not Ben is good enough for the Cavs, and the answer is yes. I was being facetious, everyone. Do you think the Cavs shooting staff, who has fixed Chetty Osmond at this point, Colin Sexton, Larry Nance Jr., and, I mean, Tristan Thompson is shooting threes, and I feel like that is a result of Cleveland's player development staff a little bit here. Do you think they could turn Ben into a decent enough three-point shooter so he could not make it, like, so there isn't blatant disrespect for when he's on the perimeter and you have everybody just stepping back into the paint daring him to shoot it?
I don't know, and I think that's an unknowable, because Jetty and Colin and Larry, I think even I don't count Tristan Thomas as a 3-point shooter, although he like took them last year.
Dare you, sir?
The volume isn't there.
I'm in a scrappy mood, so
that's fine. But I think like if you're the Cavs, you hope that's the case. But I don't know because he would be a bigger project. It seems like in that regard than other guys. And there's just a lot we don't know. I mean, Ben Simmons is one of those guys that I feel like if there was a world where like we had more access and like we're reading Vintage Cavs and we're clinical in the book club. Terry Pluto calls like watching practice like a basketball PhD course, right? Mm-hmm. And the access you would get from that and stuff like that, I think you could learn a lot more about it. That is just a frankly an unknown, even though like there's some publicity out there and like there's the videos we've seen and the shot doesn't look like it's like, you know, MKG bet or anything like that.
No.
But I think to me that's an unknown.
I think that's a fair assessment. And you did mention that Ben was having some ailments, and big thoughts and prayers with him because he is out for likely the remainder of the bubble due to knee surgery. But Chris, you know what might help him relieve some of the stress that comes with his notable injury woes and just, you know, playing for the Sixers in general? Our folks and friends at CBDMD. Why don't you tell me all about it?
CBDMD, guys, what a great sponsor. This is a company that if you're a professional athlete, if you're a stay-at-home parent, if you're Ben Simmons in that case, and you just need a little support, they can help you. They have an amazing duo of products to help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. First up, you have CBD Freeze with menthol. That's an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. And then you have CBD Recover, which combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need when it matters most. To make life even easier, to try this amazing duo and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners a 25% off coupon on their next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Go check them out, and thanks to them for sponsoring the show.
No, thank you big time to CBDMD for sponsoring Locked On Cavs and the Locked On NBA circle as a whole.
Locked On really group, actually. Just salute to them.
Oh, big salutes to them. We really appreciate their support as always. And, yeah, no, check them out. And Chris and I will be right back to debate more about Ben Simmons. And we're going to get a little bit more cerebral and talk about trade packages. Okay, we are back. Chris, we figured Ben Simmons is worth the Cavs' time. I think that's a fair assessment at this point from both of us. Let's say Kobe Altman is wearing a shirt with the biggest collar possible, and Elton Brand, for some reason, is channeling his inner Colangelo and calls him up and says, I want to trade you Ben Simmons. What is your best offer? Chris, you're assuming Kobe Altman at this point. Enter the mind of Kobe Altman. So you're really not going to talk to me because I'm a member of the media, but...
Oh, wow. That's better than my joke that I had prepared for this.
Oh, I want to hear it now.
Well, I called my bros at Goldman Sachs.
Okay, cool. I like it.
Call them up. I'm like, hey, guys, I got to, the finance owners of the 76ers. Like, give me some intel.
There you go. See, that's a heady play. So the Cavs don't have to completely mortgage their future to trade for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, just sell your soul to the Capitals.
It's been reported by Chris Fedor, in his Hey Chris column, that it seems like a baseline would have to include Darius Garland. So that's like your launching point. And to me, it feels like you have to include Kevin Love to make the money work, which Kevin and Joel would be a lot of fun together, IMHO. But I think Ben and Kevin would be a lot of fun too. But what else would you do to sweeten the pot to convince Elton Brand that, you know what, this is a great offer for Ben Simmons? I mean, you're starting with Darius, you're starting with Kevin, but what else would you sprinkle in to really drive this trade home?
You're going a bunch of picks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying like probably 2-3 first round picks, because if I think about what the 76ers are, they still have Joel Embiid, who is, mm-hmm. his window is, you have to just assume that it's shorter than most every other star, right?
Yeah, I mean,
just the injury risk is just there.
Said the Pelicans or the Sixers should try to trade Joel for Anthony Davis just because Joel has like 4 or 5 years left in the league.
Right. So you have to win now. So I think you're probably trying to give them ammunition to go trade for something else. So that's probably at the very least Darius and multiple picks. If you're the Cavs, you definitely, I think, don't want to go like Darius and KPJ. Although if I'm the 76ers, I'm probably asking for that.
Yeah.
I think it's baseline level. Yeah, and then the other question I think with this is, like, how does the Al Horford contract fit into this?
It doesn't. I hope not. I mean, I wish Philly the best, and maybe they're able to swindle some other team along the way. But see, that's where my problem is. First off, before I jump back into this hypothetical with this trade, is it'd be easier for Philly not to trade Ben Simmons than it would be to try and get off of Horford's contract, maybe even get off of Tobias Harris's contract. And I feel like if Portland, I mean, Damian Lillard's dragging the Trailblazers to the Western Conference playoffs. And maybe out of spite, he's going to drag them to the Western Conference Finals to face Pat Beverly, Paul George, and the Clippers. And maybe he knocks them out, and then he gets crushed by the Bucks in the NBA Finals, which would be incredible. But I feel like CJ McCollum makes a lot more sense. It's like a high-priority target for what Philly's going for. But
yeah, absolutely.
To jump back into this, yeah, if the Cavs were to trade for Ben Simmons, they'd have to punt on Darius Garland, like, in the quickest way possible, which sucks because I'd like to see what we get with a fully healthy Darius, but I understand if you're getting a player of Ben Simmons' caliber, and then...
And I would argue that Darius is probably a better fit with Ben Simmons than Collin is.
He is, but I don't know if the Cavs are going to be so quick to move Collin than they are Darius at this point. That's the other thing.
No, like I'm just saying hypothetically for the Cavs, like you don't pick nits too much when you're getting Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm just throwing that out there.
Dylan Windler would be fun next to Ben Simmons as well if he's able to stay healthy. But
just for the record, my offer would be my baseline is like two picks, Garland and Love, and then you're taking Simmons and you're probably you have an immense salary, I think. Yeah. I will run this while you tell me what your offer would be.
Mine would be similar to that. I think it would have to include that Milwaukee pick, which is a gamble pick. And then is Cleveland allowed to trade their 2021st? Because 2019 was technically their first round pick. So I think they're allowed to trade their 2021st, which means selfishly, if you're able to finagle Philly enough, you can keep the 2021 first. And then, you know, Cade Cunningham and Ben Simmons, like, sign me the F up. But I feel like Philly's going to say no to that. And it's going to be Cleveland's 2021 first and Milwaukee's 2021 first. And then possibly even future picks as well, just to really satiate what Philly's going for, because Ben Simmons, again, is not a top 10 player, but he's a top 20 player in the league, I'd say. And the asking price for him, especially for someone as young as him, even with his injury history, but the type of player he is going to be super high. And then, so I agree with your package. It'd be Garland, Love, 2 to 3 first round picks, and then things could get interesting. They could ask for, like, Dylan Windler or somebody like that. But I feel like if you're at the negotiating table, Colin Sexton and Kevin Porter are immediately removed from the conversation, because I feel like if you're the Cavs, you hold on to those two with dear life.
Yeah. I would also maybe consider if they wanted, like, another, like, useful player who's pretty cheap, Jetty Osmond would kind of be an option in that sense, because he could be a wing.
Him and Cork Maz would be fun together.
Yeah. And, you know, like, if they need to, like, save money down the line, he has that unguaranteed last year of his contract. So, like, that's kind of a thing you could consider too. I really kind of would think, though, Evan, and when I think about this, I think maybe we should talk about this about why we feel like this is so unlikely when we get to the last segment. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this almost has to be a three-team deal, because if you're gonna, they're gonna take in
Horford somehow.
Yeah, like Horford Horford and maybe Tobias Harris in another deal if you want to just go crazy and then go
four
nuts.
Teams.
No, but I'm saying, like, do another deal or do whatever stuff you need to do to kind of optimize your roster. I feel like Horford would make a lot of sense for them to try to move on, and I don't know where that is, but, like, I would try if I were them.
No, I really agree with that, and it's really hard to gauge the market. But you know what can help you gauge the market in terms of sport betting, Chris? Our friends at MyBookie. Say it with me now, Chris. Sports are back, baby. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind. MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime game-winning shot all wrapped up into one. I love it, you love it, your mom loves it, your dog loves it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of Major League Baseball just around the corner, there's never been a better time to start paying. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring this world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus they'll toss you a free $10 in MLB future wagers. All you gotta do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Thank you again to MyBookie for sponsoring Locked On Cavs and the Locked On Podcast Network. And Chris and I will be back to talk more about how freaky and how weird we can get with the Ben Simmons Cavs trade. Make sure to stay tuned. All right, Chris, as you're tip typing away, because I can hear you on your mic, let's talk about this, because, yeah, I agree. Philly needs to get off this Al Horford contract in the worst way possible, because he is an incredibly expensive bench player for the Sixers, and at the time, I thought it was a smart signing. It made a lot of sense as, like, a defensive forward that you could use as a wall, quote-unquote, to stop Giannis, but Al Horford has been nothing but bad for the Sixers, and they need to get rid of him in the worst way. And I'm of the opinion that the Tobias Harris contract is going to be one of the worst contracts in the NBA. So if you can offload that quickly and maybe sell high on him, go for it. But I don't know what team really is willingly going to take on Al Horford, because he has cratered his trade value as bad as Kevin Love has with the Cavs.
Yeah. I feel like Al Horford's defensive rep probably gets him, like, more options than he might in other places.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, that's fair.
That's where I think, like, it's that kind of bad contract. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's in a position where, like, his contract is going to, like, work well for him.
Would you trade Al Horford to the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins?
That depends on your Wiggins mileage.
That's fair. I'm just going to start spitballing ideas here.
I just want to say this. Here's my official take on this being a thing. It, to me, strikes me so unlikely, because when you think about where we're at and where Philly's at, I just don't know if the Cavs have the right kind of package or can get in the right frame of package for them to actually make this kind of happen in a meaningful way. That's a real concern for me.
No, I agree with that. And I'm actually crunching the numbers in my little pea-sized brain right now, and a three-team trade Philly could work in to get rid of Al Horford, maybe that could be kind of fun, is the Sixers get Otto Porter and Ben McLemore, the Bulls get Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, and the Rockets get Al Horford. I think Al Horford would work really well in Houston, because he's not going to need the ball at all, and he, like you said, is a good defensive player and a good enough rebounder as long as Tristan Thompson's not playing him, and I think that'd be a fun trade, but I don't know. Al Horford has done himself no favors this year. It's just kind of tough to figure out a good trade play destination for him.
So when I guess the other part of this here is, like, should Philly do this?
Trade Ben Simmons or Al Horford? They should absolutely trade Al Horford, not trade
Ben Simmons. Should they trade Ben Simmons? In your mind, should the Ben Simmons trade be, like, a real thing?
I mean, I have asked around in the league. I guess I could flex my credentials a little bit. After this Chris Fedor thing kind of just plopped on, it was like on the middle of a Saturday afternoon when it first got sent to me, and I'm like, there's no freaking way. And then it kind of became a joke for a little bit, but then I asked around, and Philly's ownership is frustrated with the fact that this team is so loaded on paper that they aren't able to get over the edge. And I feel like there's other pieces along the way. Like, Brett Brown is probably the first head to fall, and I feel like Ty Lue could come in and fix this Sixer situation super quickly.
He's going to be so in demand.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's going to be in demand with them, the Nets, if Jacques Vaughn doesn't satiate Kyrie and KD's needs. There's a few teams. I don't know. I like to. Ty is going to be a very good coach again in the league, and I feel envious of what our team ends up with him, but just to jump back to this, Brett Brown would be first to go, I feel, but if the Sixers really wanted to get dramatic, like, they've been dramatic in the past making these kind of moves. Like, the Jimmy Butler trade was kind of a dramatic power play to try and become a contender in the East, and it worked for a little bit because Jimmy dragged them through the playoffs, but then Jimmy liked how Dwayne Wade was getting treated in Miami and wanted some of that, and that ship set sail. So it wouldn't surprise you, the Sixers organization, to make a desperation move. And if it came down to it, I was told it's between Joel and it's between Ben. And if I, and both are injury prone, which is the problem, like you've said with Ben, and Joel has his own litany of history as well. I feel like I'd go with Joel just because Ben does have some limitations with the 3-point shot. And if that's the case, I talked about this in my article for Forbes. Like, there are so many teams that can offer so many attractive packages. Like, CJ McCollum would be a amazing get for the Sixers, and you could trade him realistically to Portland, and then Portland with Dame and Ben would be a lot of fun. I mean, shit, if Dame got fed up with Portland and he wanted out, you could also trade Dame for Ben, and then he could build around Ben and CJ as your cornerstones in Portland instead. Like, there's so many other attractive options out there for Philly. Like, if they had to trade Ben Simmons, they would get handsome offers for him, I feel.
And I just think their offers have to be so win now, just because of Embiid.
Like, you need an immediate contributor. Like, yeah, Darius Garland has the potential to be very good. We hope. I said that
he's not going to help you win an NBA title next season.
No, he's unfairly was compared to Steph during the draft process, but he's nowhere close to being Steph Curry. He's more, I'm drawing a blank on him, DJ Augustine than he is Steph Curry at this point. So he's not really a win-down move. Like, getting Kevin Love is a win-down move for the Sixers, but in that case, you'd probably try to trade Al Horford to Cleveland and include maybe Matisse Thybulle to really move the needle on it, because Kevin's contract expires sooner than Al Horford's, and maybe that's the way you do it. But Philly should be looking at small moves to push the needle. Especially if the Bucks flame out, because that means it could be Giannis's last year. So a lot of teams are going to try and capitalize on that momentum. So I think there's a lot of other variables you could do to that are more maybe linear or slight jumps than dramatic, drastic changes where you completely overhaul the roster and identity of this team by trading one of the cornerstone pieces.
I think that's dead on. It's a concern for me when I think the Cavs just are not going to have the ammunition for any of this. Like, that's sort of, even though, like, I've already said publicly this week, like, the Drummond trade doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Like, if you could get a guy who isn't, like, who has made All-Star teams for, like, the little they did, like, it's kind of hard to, like, you can talk yourself into that pretty easily, because the price for guys that are, like, actually really impactful players is usually much higher than that. And the Drummond thing carries its own weight, and there's, like, all the concerns you can have with it, all that stuff. But you can talk yourself into it. It's just Ben Simmons is not nearly going to be that inexpensive.
No, he's not. He's going to command a King's ransom, and he's well worth the price that the Sixers are going to ask
for. If the Cavs could get him and Philly was like, we'll do whatever, you kind of probably do it, because he's that good, and he'd be that transformative.
Yeah. I mean, the Sixers are incompetent enough as a front office, but I want to have enough faith in them that they wouldn't trade away a player of Ben Simmons' caliber. At least to the team like Cleveland.
Yeah, you would think they would go somewhere where it's just going to, like, kind of be a place where it actually, like, gets them the stuff they need to support Joel right now. Like, if they could get a guard to kind of lead, with Ben, like, that's kind of the ideal outcome more than anything else.
Yeah. Well, you pay Ben at the 4, Joel at the 5, and then you get a lead guard.
But if you're going to trade him, I'm saying, like, if you could get the kind of transformative guy, and then you figure out the rest, like, I think that's kind of, like, the workable scenario. But it's also, like, that's really hard to project, and there's a lot of... You know, you're not net, like it, you're going to be sacrificing things on the defensive end if you don't have Ben Simmons on your team anymore. Oh, yeah. And that's a concern as well, because Ben Simmons is an insanely good defender, and that's probably one of the areas where he's, I think, certainly underrated.
No, I agree. And before we wrap this shindig up, because I think we're just going to resign ourselves to the fact that, unfortunately, Ben Simmons will not be a Cavalier.
But the idea is that if you could do it, you do it. Yeah. But it's just not a really realistic outcome, even if it's fun.
It's a fun idea on paper, but it's just not really realistic. But I should ask you this before we go. Do you think Zach LaVine is a realistic target for the Cavs? I feel like you could finagle... Chicago's pretty well run at this point, because they have a Denver disciple in there.
Well, it depends what they think of him, I guess. Like, there's no guarantee that they think really highly of him.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, but, like, are you a Zach LaVine person, too?
I'm not, personally.
I'm not either. There's concerns about the fit there as well. Sure, I guess, but what is that accomplishing you? If I'm the Cavs, like, I am not trying to rush this. That is where I'm at with this.
Yeah.
Let's stop trying to just make the playoffs next year. Let's, like,
rebuilds or play this out correctly. Sprint. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just frustrating overall. But I think that's going to do it for Chris and I today before we start venting our frustrations.
You said we were going to argue.
I think we argued a little bit.
I don't think
actually,
we were.
You know what? For those listening, let us know who won the fight. Who won the argument? Was it Evan with the heart or Chris with his stupid nerd shit? So let us know on Twitter, on email. Harass me in the DMs and I'll just forward them to Chris. Just let us know either way. But thank you guys for listening to Tuesday's episode of Locked On Cavs. Thank you again to CBDMD and MyBookie for sponsoring the show as always. And yeah, no, thank you guys again for being our dedicated listeners. We love you bunches. Chris, is there anything you want to say before we go?
Thanks for listening. Wear a mask. And
yeah, wear a mask.
I appreciate all the support, guys. We're going to have some fun draft stuff and all that that comes with that, and we can't wait to experience that because that is coming up very soon. We are recording this on Monday. You're listening to this on the 11th. We're like a week away from the lottery, and that's a lot of fun.
Week from Thursday, baby. I couldn't believe it. And yeah, we're working on some stuff behind the scenes, getting friends of enemies and everything on.
One other thing. Please, please, please go check out the series we're doing at Locked On Cavs. I'm really, really proud of it, frankly. I don't say that a lot. I'm usually like, I don't...
Chris, it's Fear the Sword.
What did I say?
He said Locked On Cavs, okay, which this, I appreciate whatever. You plugging the show on the show. Yes.
But at Fear the Sword, and we talk about it here, we have the whole series of stuff that we're doing. And I'm really, really proud of it, frankly. I think it's one of the best things we've done on the site in a long time. Evan's a big part of that. Trevor's a big part of that. Like, I'm really, really proud of what we're doing at that. And I will engage with you if you are respectful to me and talking to me about what we're doing. Be polite in the comments. That's all I really ask.
Yeah, no, please be nice to Chris. Don't be a dick on the internet. And also, we have a poll running right now as well. It's probably going to be over at this point, but Locked On Podcast is now on Instagram, and we might do the same. So let us know what you think, and we're really dragging out this ending. But yeah, no, check out Fear the Sword. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Go Cavs.